What's up, Active Lifers? Welcome back to the guest show on the Active Life Podcast. I'm Dr. Sean Pastuge. I'm your host. And today's guest is Christy Mae Campbell. If you haven't heard of Christy Mae Campbell, it's because you're not looking in the right places for the right stuff, guys. I met Christy at a mastermind about 2.5 years ago, and she blew me away. And she hadn't even started her business yet. Christy is a nutrition coach. She actually owns a nutrition business. I should stop calling her nutrition coach because she's evolved even past that. And she is a person who, as you will learn on this show, had every single reason in the world to fail. Every single reason in the world to decide, I shouldn't try to do this. There are other people already doing it. I'm not doing a good job. I'm not making any headway. Nobody cares. Every single reason why you might quit, she had that experience. And she had everything behind her that would have said, you're right, you shouldn't do this, including a skill set that she could use elsewhere that had nothing to do with it and get a real job making real money right away. And she didn't take that choice. She didn't take that choice. I find Christy to be one of the most relatable people, giving honest, interesting, valuable content on Instagram that I've seen anywhere. And I promise you, the podcast that you're going to listen to today, if she doesn't blow you away, then you and I just have very different tastes. If she does, make sure you go follow her. Make sure you're going and following her content. Make sure if you're interested in working with her, that you do it. I'm really looking forward to today's show. I think it's one that you're going to find extremely interesting and extremely valuable and extremely refreshing in a world where a lot of stuff that we're talking about out there, when I say we, I shouldn't say we, because I hope that we don't fit this bill, but there's a lot of superficial stuff out there. There's a lot of overpromises and under deliveries out there. Christy is the opposite. I hope you guys enjoy it. Hey, so before we get to the interview with Christy today, I want to remind you guys that our seminars are live. If you're interested in learning how to differentiate yourself in the fitness world and finally turn your passion for fitness into a career, you should be checking out our seminars. Hit us up at Active Life Professional and get on the early access list for the next one. Here we go. All right. Christy Mae Campbell, welcome to the Active Life Podcast.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
I'm stoked to have you. I like having people on the show who I've known longer than we've had the show.
I guess that's true. It's been maybe just over 2 years, I think.
Something like that. Yeah, we had the podcast, but it was kind of this spastic, have anybody on, you know, figure it out afterwards. And then it became something real maybe like 8 months ago.
Yeah.
Just in time.
Well, I like listening to it, and I was excited and nervous that you asked me on because you always ask tough questions. Anytime we've ever talked, you ask me hard questions.
What's the point of questions if they're not hard?
No, I appreciate them. Most of the time I don't know the answer. And I think that's why I was nervous for the podcast, because I usually have to go think about it and come back with a better answer.
Well, I think the difference between podcasts like that, or excuse me, conversations like that, are that we're trying to improve something in your life, your
right.
business, your body, whatever it is. And this is really, I'm excited for the opportunity for our audience to be able to get educated by you. You know, the way that we run these shows, if you're listening to them, is the idea is they're a short masterclass, and somebody can listen to the show and say, I learned this from Christy. I'm going to go do this now, and my life is going to be 1 degree different. And it doesn't have to be like run this funnel, you know, do this acquisition play. It could be stop thinking about yourself that way.
Yeah.
Right.
I took a minute before we got on and thought about what it is that I would want out of this time that we're going to talk together. And that was it. I thought, you know, if one person can take something away that changes their day today, it's a great conversation.
And they definitely will. They definitely will. I don't think I've ever seen a post of yours, had a conversation with you that I left and I was like, I have vanilla. Even though my favorite ice cream flavor is vanilla. I've never had like, you know, oh, that was very like, she just threw that up there because she had nothing to do.
Well, I appreciate that a lot. I think about the things that I guess those little weird dark places that are in you and where you feel uncomfortable or nervous or anxious or sad or bad or happy. And I try to talk about those things because not a lot of people go to those places. And so it's not for shock factor. It's just because I feel like those are the human things that, that somebody might want to hear.
Well, what I find most interesting about them, and we'll get into it in a moment here, is it's not for shock value, but it's, you have a very unique way of being vulnerable and inspirational at the same time. And you can't do something for shock value that has to do with yourself unless you're ripping your shirt off and putting your boobs on Instagram being like, check out the surgery I had. Really though, look at my tits. Like, you know, that happens. It's not you though.
Right. Right.
So there's
a lot of that in the inspiration space. And so that's why I feel like I think about shock factor and I'm like, why am I sharing this? And I'm like, no, this isn't shock factor. This is telling something that I feel that I bet someone else is feeling too. And sharing it for that reason.
And I honestly believe there's a handful of people, maybe five I can think of, who do that on a world-class level. And you're one of them.
Thank you. That really means a lot to me. Yeah.
Well, I don't know if you know who Annie Miller is.
I do.
So she's another one of those. And I had her on the podcast about 2 years ago. And at the time, she didn't have much of a following. It was all kind of getting started, but I loved what she was putting out there. And I was like, this is the woman to follow in the fitness space. She's going to be the next big thing. And I still think that she has a long ways to go in her growth and her opportunities, but you remind me so much of her and she's grown so much so fast. It's been awesome to watch.
That's amazing. Yeah. So, she has some fantastic stuff.
Yes, she does. We just hired a social media coordinator, director. I don't know. People are like, what's my position called? I'm like, what do you want to be called? I don't know. And they said, you know, what account should we look at? And I sent them to yours. I sent them to hers. So you're doing the job.
Thank you. Yeah.
I would love for you to introduce yourself to our audience. I know that I know you're awesome. They don't necessarily know you're awesome, don't know where to find you, any of that kind of stuff. So instead of waiting for the end to tell them where to find you, why don't you tell them where to find you and tell them what they're going to find when they get there?
So I have two good places to find me. One is on Instagram at Christy Mae Campbell. I try to be on there every day sharing real stuff like we talked about. And then the other good place to find me is I have a short form podcast. It's called Fit Me Coffee Talk. I post a 5 to 10 minute podcast episode every weekday, so Monday through Friday. And similar, I'm sharing real stuff that I feel like someone needs to hear that they can take action on once they've heard it. And so those are two good places to find me.
And what are they going to, like, who are you? What are they going to find when they get there? You know,
good question.
I mean, you know, I'll do the intro. By now they will have heard the intro that I shot after this was all done. But I mean, there's so much value in what you're putting out and it's all based on your experiences, your education, your iterations, and your, you know, really pulling out your own insecurities, sharing with other people that I have these too. And guess what? It's not just the two of us. There are thousands of people with these same problems and you can move through them, not around them, right? Not past them, but through them. And that's what I find so resonant about you. So I would love for you to tell people a little bit about your story, how you got yourself started.
Well, first off, I'm a mom. So right, if you want to know who I am right now, I have three kids, two boys who are 9 and 11. I pray that you don't hear them on this podcast, but they are home because our schools haven't opened yet. So they're here. And then I have a daughter who is almost 15 months old. So I'm a mom. I'm a Navy veteran. So I was in the Navy for 7 years and my husband's still active duty. So our Navy family, we've moved a ton. And that's honestly, you know, we rewind 2 years ago. I met you right before we moved out here, but I'll rewind a little further than that. Because I think that's what you're asking. So I'm an 80s kid. I'm 36. So I grew up, I feel like, in the hamburger helper era. I ate lots of processed food growing up. It was just what we ate. I remember going to middle school and every day ordering a bag of popcorn and two Otis Spunkmeyer cookies. That was lunch. I think I actually got three because you got three for a dollar. And that's, I just ate that kind of food. I thought healthy food or diet food was sort of like Weight Watchers, microwave meals, or that's my impression of healthy diet food. But I was super active kid. I played soccer, all the teams. And so I probably maintained a pretty healthy body weight from the activity. But when I went into the Navy, I had a knee issue and they misdiagnosed this. It's a long story, but you can add four ACL reconstructions on my left knee, plus a microfracture and a bone graft and a handful of other debridement surgeries. You fast forward a couple years, I was active duty Navy, married, had two kids. All of the fitness that I had growing up from activity, I felt like was gone because I'd had all these knee surgeries, these back-to-back-to-back knee surgeries. And I was 40 pounds overweight from my second. So with my first son, I gained 50 pounds and then I lost it by dieting. I did Weight Watchers like three separate times, did all the cardio, lost the weight. And then when I got pregnant with my second, it just didn't work. I don't know what it was. And I kept looking for some kind of solution that I saw. I saw the, you know, the shake challenges, like the things where you join with your friend and you both do it together as fast as possible. I tried that. Didn't work. I tried Weight Watchers again a couple times. Didn't work. I put an elliptical in my bedroom. Didn't work. And I was stuck in this place where I felt like, oh, this is mom life. This is what it is to be a mom. You actually don't feel attractive anymore. You don't get to do fitness. You don't get to do the fun things you used to do. All these surgeries mean that phase is over. I'm going to buy clothes that have pleats in them and lots of buttons and look professional. And I'm going to succeed in all these other places where I felt like I was doing okay, like professionally. I felt like I was excelling there. And as a wife and as a mom, I felt really good there. But as me, as Christy, I felt like that time was gone. And it was because I didn't feel good in my body anymore. I had just lost that. So I was stuck there for a while. And my husband left on deployment. And I moved home to Maryland in with my mom, by the way, with two babies who were like almost two and almost four. He leaves on deployment. We put our whole house in storage and I move in to my town that I grew up in, Salisbury, Maryland, on the Eastern Shore of Maryland.
I didn't know that's where you're from.
Yep, I'm from there.
I spent some time there.
Yeah. So I decide while my husband's gone, I'm going to get in shape. This is the same resolution I'd made like six times before. And so I went to this local gym. I think it was World Gym. And I'm doing a step aerobics class. I'm terrible at step aerobics, by the way. I'm not a particularly good dancer, but I was torturing myself through it. And I remember just being miserable. And I'm like, how many times am I going to come here before I see 5 pounds down? I remember thinking, how many times do I have to come? And what shake challenge do I need to join? Because I need a thing. And I just so happened to run into this guy. And he was a personal trainer. And he said, hey, you want to come to my class in the park? And it was winter. And I was like, that sounds terrible. I was like, what is it called? And it's like, it was called Pain in the Park. And I was like, yeah, I guess I'll come. Some people I know went. And this very first class that I went to of his, I wore, you know, all black, these loose pants, this big shirt. I mean, I was 40 pounds overweight. I wanted to go to the class, but when I got there, I felt so, it's like I wanted to hide. And he had all these exercises that you do where you can't hide, where you're like bear crawling in a line. It's like a worst nightmare.
Mm-hmm. Starts riding up, things start falling out.
Oh my God. And you're doing burpees and there's people in front of you and behind you. And I was like, my butt crack's going to show, my boobs. And keep in mind too, this is one of my, you know, first couple of workouts post 9 knee surgeries at that point. So I had a big knee brace on. I had no confidence in my leg. And I remember him saying to me in that very first session, I see an athlete in there. And I don't know why that meant so much to me, But it did. It was like he saw beyond this exterior, and he saw me for what I was missing, that piece that I thought was gone. And I just kept going back to his class. And honestly, he was just a freaking fantastic personal trainer. His name's Dante Finney. He was an incredible coach. He changed my life because he taught me basics. He taught me how to work out hard, but he gave me back that piece that I was missing in a way that only a coach can. And so even though I had, you know, I have a degree in something totally different, and I had been professionally trained in the Navy to do something completely different, after my experience with him, and again, yes, great, I lost 40 pounds and I got stronger and all that, but he gave me back that piece that was missing. And so I was like, I'm doing this. I'm going to be a coach. And so you're going to laugh because I don't think you know this story, but my husband returned from deployment, and that meant another cross-country move. So we moved out to Washington State, and I had just gotten my online, sorry, that's my water reminder. I had just gotten my online personal training cert, like most people do when they become personal trainers. They start with one of the online ones. And so I told my husband when he got home, and keep in mind, I had no experience as a coach or trainer, none, zero. I said, I'm going to start my own outdoor boot camp class like Dante did. And it was January in the Pacific Northwest. And so my husband, because he's incredibly supportive, he bought me this purple Under Armour jacket that's supposed to be waterproof. And I got a couple of crappy pieces of gear off Facebook Marketplace. I got an old tire and some busted dumbbells and a yoga mat. And I was determined I'm going to have this class in the park. And I created some events on Facebook. I didn't know anybody. We just moved out here. And I didn't know the Pacific Northwest is like incredibly rainy and cold and crappy in the winter. And I had all this hope because I had all this enthusiasm and passion, right? My life had just been changed. I'm going to do this thing. And I set up this class at the park. I invited all these people and I went out there and it was misty. It looked like just like those vampire movies, those teen vampire movies. And it looks just like that. And everything's like diamonds. And I waited and waited and nobody came. And I went home in my purple jacket that Josh got for me. And he was like, how'd it go? And I'm like, nobody showed. And I went ahead and I made another class for the following weekend. And I went out again, invited more people. Nobody showed. I went out the next week and I made two classes. I picked two locations this time. And I went out and one person showed. And all of the things that you think is like, oh my God, like they're going to think I'm a weirdo. Nobody else is here. This is supposed to be a boot camp class. Like they're going to think all this stuff, but I just went with it. And week after week of more people didn't show. I think you were going to say more people started coming, but I mean, it was 6 to 8 weeks of going out in the cold, nobody showing, maybe one person. And with all my busted gear and no training experience. And then all of a sudden people started coming. And then this little funny class in the park grew. And it over the next year while we were stationed there, it became this amazing community, this place where I was able to coach. People felt like they were wanted and welcome, that you weren't too out of shape. You weren't too inexperienced. You weren't too much of a mom. You could bring your kids. You could wear stuff that you were excited about. You could throw a tire over your head, all of those things. It was incredible.
So when you started that camp, a few things. Number one is, had you already lost the weight that was making you feel insecure?
Yes.
Okay. Yes. And was your knee, were you more confident in your knee at this point?
Not so much. I mean, I think it was better, but at this point in my life, I still was very much in the mindset of I'm always going to have a bad knee. I'm just going to work around it.
Okay. And then the last, well, maybe not the last question, but another question. First of all, you told such a resonant story. I felt like I was there, right? I felt the emotion of it. I've never been 40 pounds overweight. I've never had kids. And one of the things I want to make sure that I shine a light on for anybody who's listening that maybe they glossed over was, for you, a big part of the story was, I had kids and I had this knee injury and I gained the weight and I thought I would never lose the weight and I have this knee thing. So that's the end of it. Allow that knee thing that Christy felt to be whatever the thing is that you put in place for why you're struggling. Maybe you didn't grow up as an athlete. Maybe you took, you know, a running class at college because you needed the credits and that's the most athletic thing you ever did. But there's something that stands in for the knee, and allow that to be the same story for you. So moving forward past that, what changed for you? Why did it go from one person to a group of people after 6 or 8 weeks? Did you change what you were doing? Did anything change to get more people to show up?
Well, I don't know if anything that I was doing changed. I mean, I knew nothing about business at that point, or even training or marketing. I think I didn't give up and I kept showing up. So there's that consistency factor that you don't have the right to on the first time you show up. Right. The first time you put something out in the universe, just because you put it out there doesn't mean that you've earned the right for people to come yet. And I think why I was able to finally get people to come is because I didn't care that it wasn't a good time. I told people, because they were like, isn't it going to be cold or rainy? And I'm like, yeah, but just come anyway. It'll be fine. It'll showers are going to feel awesome after. And at least for me, this takeaway in this first part of the story is, and it's still true right now, and it's been true for everything that I've done coaching since and with FitMe, is that none of this has ever been at a good time. Like losing the weight while Josh was on deployment with two small babies, like living in my old bedroom from high school at my mom's house, not a great time. You know, so many reasons to put that off. Starting this boot camp class, I should have said to myself, well, why don't you wait until the spring? People are going to come in the spring, so wait. Why don't you get yourself some more, like, education on training so that you can put out some stuff and then people will come? Or why don't you, you know, wait until you meet a handful of people who can introduce you to these people that you need to invite? Once you meet the right people, then they're going to come. But for some reason, I just didn't. I just decided that showing up was more important, and that continuing to ask and look for the person who is like me, who just needed that. So I didn't wait for the right time. And I think that was what I did that was right, even though I didn't know anything about business or even training at that point. I was brand new. Well,
you have tremendous grit, and you should be celebrated for that. Because, I mean, showing up and 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 not getting the results that you want and showing up again anyway, that takes serious grit and serious dedication to knowing that, yeah, you know what? It's not working yet. It will. I have an opposite story to that, that speaks to what you said, which was, you haven't deserved the right for people to come to your class yet. I was taking biochemistry at community college between my after my senior year of college. I needed these credits to graduate. And I was like, I'm a personal trainer, technically, right? Mm-hmm. I should host a class at the community college in between my class and my lab, because I had like a 2-hour gap. I'm like, I'm going to host a class and make some money coaching a group class. So I go home. I pull out my cassette tape, my cassette player, because it was still cassette tapes and players back then. And I created a mixtape of like the best songs I could think of and a routine. Yeah. And I posted flyers all over campus, you know, put stuff on people's hoods of cars and got into classrooms and let people know I was going to be doing it. First class, I had like 30 people show up, all women. Mm-hmm. Now I'm not married. You know, I'm like, damn, there's a lot of hot chicks in here. And I put on the biggest shit show of a class that you've ever been to. I mean, it was so bad.
Yeah.
And then we did a second one and there were like five people. Nobody wanted to come back. And then I did a third one and there was nobody there. And I was like, wow, you have some learning to do here. So I wish it went the way that yours went. And I thought it was so interesting when you described the one person showing up, and it makes it like, that's actually the worst case scenario for somebody who's running a class, right? If you've never run a class like this before, where you put yourself out there and you're saying, I'm going to have people show up to this class. You advertise a class. If one person, like, your worst fear is one or two people. Zero is like, all right, nobody knows. Three, it's, yeah, this is new. We're just going to get started. Tell your friends. One or two, especially if the two come together, it's like, you're the only suckers who thought this was a good idea. This sucks. Yeah. This is weird. So I just want to go back and give you all the credit in the world again for just continuing to do it. That's so cool.
Well, I think grit is one of those things that you can acquire. And if somebody's listening to this, at least you can know that it doesn't necessarily have to be talent. You don't have to have it from the jump. You can just make the decision that you're going to keep showing up and keep learning, and you will make progress. And I feel like there's, you know, the enemy of grit in my mind is ego, because a lot of what I wanted to happen, or what people, even people from Maryland who had watched me transform my body, and then now I'm out and I'm going to have my own thing and I've done this certification. There's a lot of pressure when you let ego get in the way of, oh, I have to be successful. I have to do a thing. And that makes you want to quit, because it makes you feel like, well, that didn't work, so now I've got to try something else. And then when people ask how it went, I'll tell them it didn't really work because of X, Y, and Z. So now I'm going to do this. And you just shift, because it's very uncomfortable to say nobody came. And honestly, even as, you know, with Fit Me, this continues to happen over and over and over again, where a first attempt at something, you know, you just get a couple. And ego is something that you have to put in check, because it's not bad that it pops up. It's just, you have to see it for what it is and say, am I just not really willing to try and fail and learn because I just want to be successful? And that's a hard question to ask yourself as a coach, because you want to be successful. You want to help people. And sometimes it feels like if only you just had the right time or the right whatever, it would work. Mm-hmm. But I really feel like doing the repetitions and showing up is incredibly valuable, but also having the reason why. And so for me, in that first experience as a coach, as a boot camp instructor, I knew exactly why. Because Dante had changed my life, and I was determined to find people who needed that. And so the combo of those two things is what led to that class being successful.
Well, I think that your ability to express, I mean, like I kept asking myself when you were talking in the opener about, did you keep a journal about this stuff? And did you go back and read it? Cause you were telling it like it was yesterday.
I really remember it.
Well, because it was
so bad when no one shows up, so you remember.
Yeah, but I'm talking about everything before that. Like everything about that, you were describing it as if you were reading it. And for those of you who are listening to this, she's not. You know, there's no book in front of her. There's no journal. And I think that's one of the things that I believe makes you so attractive to work with, is the fact that I think everybody can see themselves in you. I think that you do a phenomenal job of sharing all of the things that were struggles for you and describing why they were gifts and then leveraging them to actually grow. So when was the moment that you were like, all right, boot camp's cool. I'm going to start a company where I help people with their nutrition and then, you know, double down and start teaching people how to help other people with their nutrition with your certification. When did that happen? The first one, let's go to, when did you start helping people with your nutrition?
Well, after we moved cross country again. So this, I had to leave my business. Talk about heartbreak. So not just business success. I mean, there was no mountains of cash rolling in from a boot camp class in the park, but these were my people, you know, my first love of coaching. in this community. I had to leave it. We were transferred to Maryland. And I spent 2 years in Maryland. I kind of found CrossFit and weightlifting and all of that. And I got I would say a little bit infatuated with it all. I'm sure a lot of people can relate to that because it was so exciting to get involved with. And I was a head coach of a CrossFit gym for 2 years. And I think there's value in this time period. One, I had wonderful people that I got to be with at that CrossFit gym. And I learned a lot running someone else's business who I didn't think ran it very well. I learned a lot. That was a very valuable experience for me. But ultimately during this time in coaching, I was helping people with something that was a little bit out of alignment with that why. So as much as I loved coaching, it did feel like I got excited about the next certification I could get, you know, and then the next level up I could be, the next muscle up I could teach, the next what it felt very much in that space, which was exciting, but it was a little bit away from where I had started in that boot camp class. And at some point it started to itch me. I started feeling this feeling like, well, how can I help people with this? I started getting more excited about telling people what a pull-up meant than how to do it. Mm-hmm. And then I realized, okay, I'm actually wanting to help people with these other part of their life. As much as I love exercise and fitness and I loved that time, I knew I wanted to do something different. And nutrition was the obvious piece. It was like, well, people come in here and they want all this, but they're struggling with food. But the food was just scratching the surface too, because I wasn't as excited about macros and calories. I was excited about what food meant to people and how it limited them and how their bodies and how they felt about their bodies were making their life less happy and fulfilling. And I was like, I want to solve that problem. And so we were moving again. So moving back out cross country one more time. And it was a perfect chance to break away from what I was doing because I had to leave. I had to quit my job. We were moving. But it was a terrible time to start a business, which is actually when you and I met, because I was moving. Again, let's put that off till later. And so I shifted gears and I started my own coaching company at that point. And I started working with people on nutrition. And at first, it was very much taking the best version of what I learned, which was helping people with macros. It was helping people with calories. It was helping people eat more and all of that, which again, I feel like that was part of doing the reps. That was the journey for me. I needed to do the actual piece. But I kept seeing this reoccurring issue that people would track their macros with me for a couple of months and then life would happen. They would feel bad and start all over. And they had all this twistiness inside that I wasn't fixing their problem. I was just giving them another diet. It just felt cooler because it was packaged as a, you know, this is a responsible fitness approach. But really what I was doing is I was taking the strategies that were meant for professional athletes and bodybuilders, and I was trying to give them to someone who was like me, who just wanted to wake up, put on clothes that felt good, feel good with their family, feel sexy to their husband, jump in the pool with their kids and not feel ashamed, feel like an athlete again, do like incredible, cool things with their body that they thought were gone, you know, and be happy and not feel like they were in this prison of punishing themselves with food, with alcohol, with negative self-talk, with limiting beliefs, with all of that. And that is definitely food and lifestyle. But I would say that my business evolution in Fit Me has become taking people who need something that they were not finding in the diet industry, where they were getting gimmicks and they were getting, you know, the nonsense, right? The easy, we can identify nonsense, but also they weren't getting what they needed when they were looking to, you know, fitness approaches, which I felt like weren't bad. They weren't misintentioned, but they work for the person that I was trying to help.
Yeah.
Had to call it something different.
Well, so
yeah, no, that's
how do you avoid becoming a life coach instead of a nutrition coach when you do that? Or is that part of the thing?
I'm definitely, the life part is in the mix, but that's not what we're doing, because I actually think that there's a fundamental issue with our habits and our language around nutrition and our bodies. And so ultimately what we do with FitMe is, yes, we help you lose weight. We help you fix your relationship with food and your body. But the way that we do it is we change your daily habits around eating, around what you do, how you move. Instead of just thinking of it as exercise for punishment, we think of movement because it's our bodies. We need to move. So it's the fundamentals. That's why I say I can't ever regret any part of that journey, because what I learned through nutrition coaching, what I learned through fitness and exercise coaching is applicable because it proves the science behind what I help people with now. But I feel like this is in a way that actually for my person, and again, this is not for everybody, but for the person that I help best, this is what they need. They need to live differently. They don't want to just play this diet game anymore.
Right. I know many people in my life who I care very much about, who I think that's a very resonant message for. Have you ever, we'll get to it afterwards, but I have a friend who I think you should definitely connect with. Her name is Natalie Rodriguez. She runs FitSoul, which is a very similar concept. I thought she was a nutrition coach because she took her nutrition education, and she's not. You know, she helps people. She's like, look, you know the difference between a cookie and broccoli. Why do you choose the cookie? That's all I want to focus on. And she never even coaches nutrition, but I think you guys would get along really well. The reason I bring that up is what you're describing is what we talk about in business at Active Life. It's the idea that, yeah, you can go find the best funnel. You can get the best offer. You can create the perfect pricing, and you can set things so that your staff makes the appropriate amount of money and you make the appropriate amount of money and people spend the appropriate amount of money. But if none of that is built on a foundation of beliefs and self-talk and habits, then it's all going to go to hell. It's, you know, it's unsustainable. It becomes the thing that at first is exciting, right? Like anyone who's tried a diet of any sort, in the beginning, it's like, all right, this is exciting. This is going to be the thing. And then it turns out to not be the thing, whether in the diet world, the training world, or the business world, doesn't matter. It's the same. It ends up not being the thing. And the moment that doubt sneaks into your mind that it's the thing, it crumbles and the whole thing is gone. So I think that what you're doing is awesome. And my question for you about it is, as somebody who looks at your Instagram account, right, who knows you personally, the first thing I think about is incorrect. And it's, well, yeah, great. I would love to work with Christy as my coach, but there's no way that everybody on her team can repeat that process and be as effective. So how do you speak to that? Because that to me sounds like a very real, like you're the resonant one. You're relatable. I trust you. How do I trust somebody I've never met, seen, to follow your process and care as much as you obviously do?
Well, I think there's two things that come to mind almost immediately. And the first is that in FitMe, where we call it FitMe community, but we have clarified our values and our culture. And because of that, because at FitMe, our values are realness, connection, and resiliency. And we make every decision and every person who enters FitMe, we talk about this. And I think in because of that, it's not just me. And it was a transition for a while where this was just an idea. But now it's become a lot more than that. It's a movement, because it's not just the coaches saying it either. It's the people inside FitMe that repeat it to each other. We've built connections for people to have these conversations. And the things that they say and reinforce, I hear my own voice now coming out of their mouth. And I hear the coaches saying things. And so it's an actual thing, an organic group of people reinforcing these values with this shared purpose of living differently. And so that didn't happen overnight. That's where it's at now. And it's just growing. Mm-hmm. And I have a funny thing to share about this, because I feel like this is very relevant for people who are listening, because they're probably like, wow, that sounds really cool. And like you have this group of people and all these things happening together and, you know, team and these words that sound like success, right? And they are, I'm very proud of them, but the genesis for them started with another flop or another like attempt that was at the wrong time and just didn't get the results that I thought. So when I got out here, and I think this is a really important story, almost even more so than the boot camp one, because I had expectations at this point, because I had coached for a while. Mm-hmm. And I thought, okay, I know what I'm doing now. And I actually came up with a lot of the concepts behind what is now the FitMe community about 2 years ago. And here we are again. My husband's getting ready to leave on deployment another time. So we had just moved back out to Washington. He's getting ready to leave. I'd come up with this idea. I was still actually at that point doing primarily one-on-one nutrition coaching, sort of like the old version that I was doing before. But I had this idea. I was like, that's not how I lost weight. That's not what mattered to me. I'm going to put together a product that is going to tell this story that people need, provide this solution. And so I had this idea, and my husband was leaving on deployment in a couple of weeks. And I said, I'm going to make my very first product. I'm going to film these videos. I'd never filmed anything before. I'm going to make support documents. Never done that before. I'm going to sell this online. Never done it before. And I'm going to do it before he leaves on deployment, like my deadline. And I hustled. I mean, best strategy that I could do. I organized, I invested in help. Like I'd never done that before. I had, I put all these things together. I had this idea that I knew would matter. And on top of it all, my husband's getting ready to leave. So there's that stress. And I find out at the last minute, a week before he leaves, that I'm pregnant, surprise pregnant.
Mm-hmm. I remember that.
So I put this out into the universe and I'm like, this is it. I have done the work, right? Like against all odds, here I am, Christy Campbell, against all odds, I'm going to do it. I'm going to put this thing out. Two people bought that product. Two.
I bet they loved it.
Oh man. But here's the thing is like, there was that little ego piece in there. I wanted it to be successful. I got a lot of like, great job, Christy. This is awesome. But not a lot of purchases. I felt like I had done the work I felt like I was doing something meaningful and in line. And it was still necessary to have that before I could have this. I had to put something out in the universe and be brave and be vulnerable and willing to fail and then take it instead of just throw it away, build on it. And so that became, some of the group programs that were last year that have now transformed into FitMe community and is growing into this movement. But yeah, I mean, it just happens over and over again.
So what strikes me about all of this is that it's easy to make excuses. And everybody would have justified yours. And what, have you ever read the book, The Obstacle is the Way?
I didn't finish it, but I've read a lot of chunks of it.
Okay. So you are it, right? So Christy gets a job running her own, actually not a job, has her own career running her own boot camp. Awesome. This is amazing. It finally starts kicking off. It took so long to get it going that it's finally going and we're moving. Shit. We move. Now Christy's the head coach at a gym. She's running somebody else's business. Things are starting to go well. And it's like, okay, we're finally getting in our groove. We're moving. Okay. And then you finally start to get into your groove again. You're pregnant. Right. And then, and then you're like, all right, I'm going to release my program and it's going to be great. Cause I got some business coaching. I know what's up. It's going to like, this is the thing. It flops. And everybody. And by the way, most people who are listening to this aren't following you on Instagram. You don't have a million Instagram followers.
No.
So this is, it's not like you're any different than like anybody else in terms of the opportunities that were in front of you. What makes you different, and for those of you listening, what can make you different is that you kept moving forward in spite of all of it. And it was like, okay, I'm not going to make that same mistake again. So you got to compile all of the mistakes so that you could try something with less of them in it. And eventually it clicked. And I think that's awesome.
So, mm-hmm. And I think editing helps, editing is important. And I say editing because it's not always just like compound on your efforts. Mm-hmm. It's put yourself out there and then edit, which means eliminate not the yes, the things that don't work, but also the things that aren't really what you need to help your person. And so it's a part of the process of being a coach is, you know, when you, if you're coaching people in person, if you're a boot camp teacher or a personal trainer or something, they're doing something wrong and you just throw everything at them. You give them 55 cues to hopefully fix their deadlift. They're doing nothing, you know? And so as a coach and even as a business owner and as someone who is trying to build something that matters, I feel like it's sort of similar. You know, when you have enthusiasm and excitement, you try to put all the stuff out there, and then it's, the process isn't just improving on your mistakes. It's also editing and figuring out what's the important piece.
And so what made you want to coach coaches? Because now you have your certification, right? The Fit Me Coaching Partner certification. And it's a whole different animal. What made you want to do that when you busted your ass for so long and finally something started working? And I know you're not getting rid of that. I know you're still taking clients at Fit Me Nutrition, even though you're full right now. But come January, if people want to get on board, they can get back on board with you. So New Year's resolutions, hit up Christy, reserve your spot and get in then. What made you want to start coaching coaches?
Well, for the past year and a half or so, I've had coaches coming to me and asking for coaching. So they said, I see what you're doing here. I see how you're connecting to people. And I also see that you're able to just be you. And a lot of times the coaches who come to me, they want that. They want to feel like themselves and also get results for their clients and have a successful business. But they also want to do it with their real life. And they see real life in me. And so they're like, I want to do it. So I've been doing mentorship for, you know, 18 months or so, but just one-on-one. Well, as this movement for Fit Me grew, I realized that the kind of coach, what mattered to me, in order for my people to be successful, the people who come into Fit Me, what they needed was a high-level connector. The skill set that I valued, that I knew would translate into results for my clients, were the ability to communicate, were the ability to connect to your client, the ability to help them see the next important step, the ability to help them not feel judged and have clarity around where to go. These are coaching skills. They're not accidents. And so that is just from this is the organic evolution of it. I said, this is what I want my coaches to have. And so 6 months ago, terrible timing, exactly when the world shut down for coronavirus, I wrote this certification and I put my coaches through it and I put future Fit Me coaches through it. And I realized that, yes, this is exactly the skill set I want my people to have. But when I looked out at a lot of my friends and a lot of people I cared about in the fitness space and other coaches in other industries, I realized this is a missing piece for them. And there's a lot of different certifications out there that help them with the education piece, with the business piece, with the whatever. But the skill set around getting your clients results by connecting with them, again, it's not an accident. That doesn't exist. And I said, I'm going to take my certification that I created for us and I'm going to open it. And so in this fall is going to be the first time that it's open.
I think that's really cool. So what I think is cool about it, and I have curious questions, is that it sounds to me like if I want to learn how to help somebody best manage their macro and micronutrients, this is not the course for me to take. I'm not going to become a world-class nutrition coach by taking this course, but that the value of this course is really human connection, which means that I can take it if I'm a CrossFit coach. I can take it if I'm a personal trainer. I can take it if I'm a salesperson at a corporation. I can take it if I'm a nutrition coach somewhere else. Is that true? Or is that overreaching for the market of it?
No, it's not overreaching. I feel like this directly translates. And I also feel like it's similar to and I know the majority of people who listen to this are coaches or trainers. So they can understand that a lot of times clients say, if I just had more motivation, and then, you know, well, it's not motivation, right? You need a plan, you need structure, you need help. And that's not motivation. That's just coaching, right? You need this piece. But the person says, I need more motivation. Well, in coaching, coaches say, like, I just need to be able to connect better. I just need to be able to, you know, and they think that that's just a thing that they're waiting for. And it's not. It's something where you can do the work to get real comfortable with you. And that's where it starts, and being okay with the parts, again, that I talked about, where you feel a little vulnerable, or you feel a little like, eh, nobody would want to know this because they're going to judge me. So you get comfortable with you, but then you develop how to connect you to your client, how to communicate better, how to ask better questions, how to listen, how to take what you learn and turn it into that next step. And again, just like motivation, it's not, this isn't just a feeling that comes. This is something you can develop. And I feel like also with the certification, I'm doing me, which is, I'm putting mentorship on it too. So it's not just a standalone education. This is me guiding you through it and then providing you with mentorship even after it's over to apply it to your passion, to you. And so that's it. It just became organic out of what we're doing with FitMe, which is still going and is as important to me as ever, but also to reaching out to the people that I know have incredible passion for helping people and helping them with this skill set.
One of the things that I find fleeting about motivation, because you mentioned that, you know, there's a lot of motivated people out there, but you're not lacking motivation. One of the things I find fleeting about motivation is that it's immediately thumped when you fail. If it's just motivation, right? Because it's anyone out there who's ever played sports, like, you're motivated to win the game. And as soon as the other team starts putting it on you, the motivation changes. It's no longer to win the game. It's now to figure out why you're getting thumped. Right. And then it's okay, well, let's stop doing that. And then it's figuring the motivation to now strike back in whatever way it is. If it's a fight, it's a fight. If it's a game, it's a game, whatever it is. And so motivation changes. That's my point about that. Motivation changes. And if your eye is on the prize of an outcome instead of a process, then when the motivation changes, you're fucked. There's no way to do it. And I believe, and I'm curious about your thoughts, I believe that the greatest motivator is the thought that you actually can. That's it. If you think that you actually can, then you'll be able to figure out how. But it all starts with thinking that you actually can. And I think that the reason why courses like the FitMe Coaching Partner Certification can be valuable for somebody, the reason why I think that our immersion course for coaches is so valuable for people, and even our seminar is so valuable for people, is because they obviate to people, you can. Here's what you've been doing wrong. Take this small step. And then people stay motivated. It stops being about motivation. It becomes about discipline and focus. And that's a game changer. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I 100%. I mean, we practice it inside FitMe with something as simple as changing your clothes. We have this little saying, like, no sad clothes. And a lot of times, you, especially women, we put on clothes we hate because we don't feel good in our bodies. And the problem that people are saying is, I don't have motivation. The simplest action sometimes can just be all the way down to change your clothes. No more sad clothes. And so we practice it in that space like that. But I think you're right. It's you want to have motivation be something that fuels your action and your results. But I think it goes the other way. It's action first. Then you're going to see, with consistent action, you'll see results, and then you can be excited and enjoy a little bit of the emotional ride for a little bit and feel motivated, but then just circle right back around to what got you there, which is the consistent action, and stay in that place. And then the emotions that come with motivation, but also the flip side of that is the real life stuff that comes, you know, in your way. Everybody who's a coach is also have real life in some way. And it'll pull you out and it'll make you feel bad, or it'll provide an obstacle the discipline of what's the smallest little action that I can take will be applicable in those moments too, because you're going to be like, well, I can't do all the things. You can't, you're right. But you can do this one thing, this mm-hmm. one little thing today.
Yeah. And it's so important. It's as my friend Michael Cashew talks about, and I talked about him on a recent podcast, is what is the thing that you can do now that most impacts all of the other things that you need to do? You know, that makes everything mm-hmm. else easier. And what you describe with the clothes is a really simple thing. It's a really good example. If you feel good because you think you look good, then you're going to be more likely to work towards what you want to do. Because if you feel like crap, it just sucks. Nothing works when you feel like crap.
And I don't even know necessarily that it's as easy, but changing your clothes. Certainly you take off clothes that make you feel sad and you put on clothes that don't, and you should look better. But it's not so much the look better as it is the action that you took and why. You're saying, I'm the person who doesn't deserve to be in sad clothes. I'm the person who's going to go to the gym later today. I'm not quite there yet mentally. I don't want to go, but I'm the person who's going to do that. I'm the person who's going to eat a decent meal today. So I'm also the person who's not going to put their body in these clothes that make me feel crappy. And you may not even feel good yet or look good yet, but you've taken that step for yourself and it makes the other ones easier. And I think in coaching and business, it's really simple. It's similar. It's the kind of things that you do are reflective of the person that you are and that you're becoming, even if there's no evidence of it yet.
That was a really cool deeper dive into what you were describing there. I'm glad you did it. I like that. So if somebody out there is a coach and they want to take this course, how do they do it?
I think what they would do is step one is just connect with me on Instagram or somewhere else. We'll talk about it. I want to know about them and if it could actually help them. And if they reach out from this, they probably have a really good idea of who I am, I hope. But they would reach out and we would talk about it. I have a free workshop that I'm going to do that they can come to first, just to even get a little taste, where we are going to talk about how failing forward and using the things that feel like, you know, quote, failure actually can help you attract the right clients. And so, you know, we can start there, but ultimately if you want to do this mentorship and this certification with me, it will be something that you will be able to put into practice immediately. There won't be a chapter or a week that we go through that you're not like, oh, I don't have something I can use right now. And from the people who've already been through it, that was one of my favorite testimonials, was there's never been a thing that they've taken that is so applicable immediately. And it doesn't matter if you're a personal trainer or you're a nutritionist or you're an RD or you're even a physical therapist or, you know, a chiropractor. Ultimately, we're in the business of people.
Mm-hmm. And when does the course start?
We're going to start mid-October.
Okay. So we're talking mid-October 2020. For those of you who are listening to this after October 2020, I'm sure that you'll do it again so they can come and find
you. Yes. We'll probably do it once or twice a year.
Okay. Beautiful. So I want to let you in on the secret, whatever. Let you in on something. Okay. When we were at the same mastermind together, and that's where we met, for those of you listening, I met Christy at a mastermind with Jason Phillips in Washington, D.C. in 2018. I think it was April. It was April 2018.
Yeah.
There were 15 people in the room or so, something like that.
Yep.
You stood out in a big way for me. So I'm going to take you guys to the room. There was a room in a office building that had a big U-shaped table, or actually it was a square-shaped table. And all of the entrepreneurs were sitting around the table talking about their own businesses. And there were some really, really, really smart, capable, driven, passionate people in that room. Cody McBroom is one of them. I stay in touch with Cody McBroom. He's great also. I love what Cody is doing. You stood out to me because in a lot of ways, what you were doing for me felt very unexpected. And what I mean by that is people who go to masterminds, people who are trying to grow their business, oftentimes carry like a chip on their shoulder of bravado that doesn't allow people to see everything about them, right? Where it's like, oh no, everything in my business is great. Because if you've never been to a mastermind, a lot of mastermind people are like, I went to one time, I showed up and everybody was like, oh, check out this new car I got. And it was like, one guy bought a Lamborghini, one guy bought a Mercedes G-Wagon, another guy bought an Audi R8. And I'm like, I just got a new Buick. It's got 7 seats. It's sick. You stood out as raw, honest, and capable. And I had no doubt in that room that you were going to do something awesome. I didn't know if it would be in what you were doing, but I had no doubt you would do something awesome. And that night we were all going to be going to dinner together. And we talked the whole time. I don't think I talked to anybody else at dinner the whole night. Mm-hmm. And that was what I wanted to do at dinner that night. Because you're the kind of person who, for me, you're the kind of person who I want in my life. Right. And for people who are out there listening to this, Christy lives in Washington. I live in New York. We're across the country. We don't talk regularly. We talk semi-regularly in an Instagram DM, right? Mm-hmm. This is how you surround yourself with the kind of people who you want to be more like. So your business is time-wise younger than active life, right? I follow less than 100 accounts on Instagram on purpose. I want to be influenced by people, but I want to be influenced by people I want to be influenced by. You're one of them because you're the kind of person who I want to surround myself with all the time. And I just wanted to make sure I shared that with you, with our audience publicly, because if there's any little thing that I can do to light even more of a fire under your ass, I want to see you, I want to see you, what you're doing, explode.
Well, I can't even say it. It means a lot. If I can return a compliment to you, you're the kind of person that I want in my life because you push me with your questions. And even though we don't talk that often, but I appreciate that you don't judge me based on the six pack on my body or the, bankroll or how much, monthly revenue. You're not judging me on that. You're seeing something different and you're asking questions that push me to be better. And I need people like that in my life and ones who also have real life too, who can understand. And so I just appreciate you also.
Happy to do it. What's your Instagram handle one more time for the people who need to keep following you?
It is Christy Mae Campbell, CHRISTYMAE, and then Campbell like soup.
That's CAMPBELL.
Yes. Yes. Like that. And then my short podcast is Fit Me Coffee Talk.
Okay. So thank you for coming on.
Thank you for having me. This has been really fun.
I hope you enjoyed this episode of the Active Life Podcast. If you did, please be sure to head to wherever you listened to it and give us a quality review, as well as 5 stars if you can spare them. If you want more from us, feel free to follow all of our social media accounts at Active Life Professional, Active Life RX, and Dr. Sean Pastuge on Instagram. Remember, at Active Life, we believe that the healthcare clinic of the future is the gym, and the healthcare provider of the future is the coach. We also believe that future is now.